Get around the radio, kids. It's time for Strictly Confidential. It's the homosexual agenda on steroids, putting the Dominionists and the loyal Bushies and the rest of America's underbelly on notice that the GLBT community is simply not going to take it anymore. So, just like gay kryptonite, here's Peter Godbold.
Good evening, America, and good morning, world. Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse 103 of Strictly Confidential. I am Peter Godbold, and welcome to the LGBT version of Conversation Radio, exclusively on the listener-supported Head-On Radio Network. Thank you for making Strictly Confidential a part of your day. Today is, in fact, Thursday, January 17. One more moment, I'm making a slight adjustment for the studio. We've been having some audio level problems lately, and we've been working those out. There we go, studio. Maybe that'll help. And so if you are indeed listening on a Thursday evening, because today is, in fact, Thursday, January the 17th, 2008, you are listening to a live show. And this live show can be phoned into so that it becomes real conversation radio. You can phone in on a Thursday evening shortly after 9 p.m., which is January the 17th. The toll-free line is 877, the number 4-HEAD-ON. That's 877-4-HEAD-ON. The toll line, if you have unlimited long distance, is area code 304-658-3333. That's 304-658-3333, and that rings in West Virginia. Email arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com, and I do try to check the mail during the breaks. And as I said, this is the LGBT version of Conversation Radio, exclusively on listener-supported Head On Radio Network. If you could stop by headonradionetwork.com. You'll see the PayPal buttons there, and you can help keep the packets passing and the reels turning and the cassettes cassetting and the CDs spinning and all the things that have to happen for this to magically appear on your computer. Seven days a week, 24 hours a day. The stream is normally live at all times. And we're running, oh Lord, I've lost track. We were running 12 hours of live and 12 hours of pre-recorded at one point. I think we've exceeded that. I'd have to check with Bob to find out what the new numbers are. But all I can tell you is there's a lot of stuff going on in the Head On Radio Network by anyone's description. The show site is strictlyconfidentialradio.com, and there you're going to find links to all of the guests as well as to the audio archives from the past shows. You're going to find links to the chat room, which is active as I speak. You'll find links to the Head On Radio Network main site, and there are lists there of all the other progressive programming and the scheduling on the Head On Radio Network. There are links there for Strictly Confidential's MySpace page and links there to help you locate the music that you hear on the show. Speaking of MySpace, I told you a story yesterday evening, shortly after the show began. I was thrilled to say that I had been contacted by Ronnie Kerr. Met him on MySpace, and I was floored to see that Ronnie Kerr is actually a movie star, among many other things. Ronnie is a professional tennis player and a personal trainer and a stuntman and an actor. He's got it all going on. He will be joining us tomorrow evening as the guest. Tonight is a Just Us edition of Strictly Confidential, I should point out. So I'm certainly looking forward to talking with him tomorrow evening. He's the character he played in the movie called Regarding Billy. He played Billy. It's a delightful gay love story. And I began to discover movies like that after I hooked up with Netflix, and I really should be billing them for the advertising that we do for Netflix here. But there are actually three movies I discovered. They're Regarding Billy, Red Dirt, and one called Gone But Not Forgotten. And they were remarkable to me in as much as for so many years, if it had the word gay on it, it was pornography. And I was just delighted to see real live stories that were not pornography. You know, it's a small thing. You know, it'd be difficult for straight folks to understand what a relief that is to actually see. Oh, my life, what can I tell you? Strange day today. I went to bed late, got up early, So you can imagine I'm kind of cranky. Goes with the territory. I dared not email anyone before 9 a.m. Those are the rules now. The network has set up the rules that I am not allowed to email anyone before 9 a.m. if I haven't had enough sleep or if I haven't had coffee, because I tend to be really, really awful. None of my listeners could understand that unless they had gotten a pre-9 a.m. email from me. So trust me, listeners, if you ever get a pre-9 a.m. email, just delete it unread, and we'll all live happily ever after. So anyway, it started out with a dentist appointment, and then I had to go do blood work. It's just routine every 3 or 4 months. I had to go do blood work, and the woman there was like like the axe murderer. I'm never going to go. This particular place you could go to, it's called, LabCorp, I think. They have 3 or 4 different locations in Tallahassee. So the one I went to was close to the dentist's office, and this woman, she just jammed this huge needle, like, right through my vein, and then she keeps pulling it in and out, trying to, you know, like drilling for oil in my arm, and then finally she moved it to another location, and I tell you, she was just horrifying. I don't ever want that one. It was the worst experience of blood I've ever been through. Oh, my. I walked out of that place with, you know how they put the big ball of cotton on top of where they and then they put the tape over it, so you walk out and you have this big, well, there were like two big balls of cotton. I looked like I had been through a dogfight. Oh, my. So that's the story of my day. What can I tell you? Life goes on. And by the way, I think, Bob, and I just, that last audio adjustment, I think may have taken care of our problems. We have been clipping a little bit for the last couple of nights. I was frustrated because all of the hardware settings were the same, all the knobs are in the right position, but discovered that the software slider, which is normally not on the screen, it's part of the VoIP communication software. We normally minimize that to keep it out of the way. And I discovered that little gremlins over time had moved the slider very, very low. So I was trying to compensate for that with the knobs, and that did not work out well at all. So thank you, Bob, and I'm glad we finally got to the bottom of that. That was getting on my nerves, and you know how my nerves are when I'm cranky and haven't had enough sleep. Okay, what can I tell you here? Oh, yeah, I've got several things. There's lots of stuff going on. Oh, yeah, I need to tell you. VJC is our DJ who's playing at the gay bar across the street this evening, which we call Rumors. VJC played for us on Tuesday night also. VJC is playing twice this week. So we'd be looking forward to that segment. That segment starts at about 10:30, maybe a couple of minutes after. We run that during the last half hour of the show. So VJC has a custom set for us this evening, and I'm looking forward to that. Tomorrow evening, it will be Bobby Vittoretti. Now, Bobby has been a guest on this show in the past, and you have heard him on the show. I'll give you the program date for that at some point when I look it up. But anyway, Bobby is going to be on, and that will be tomorrow evening. And this evening we have lots and lots of audio clips. I have told you for at least 2 nights running that I was going to go after Benny Hinn. Those of you who know Benny Hinn will immediately roll your eyes and your toes will curl just a little bit. He's in the same vein as, Kuhlman. In fact, Catherine Kuhlman is one of his idols. He claims to, well, I'd hate to start the story here, but I can't resist telling you this. He has like a key to her crypt or some rigmarole. It's part of the news stuff I've got here. And he's like, what he proudly proclaims in his speeches in front of people that he's one of the few people that has a key. He claims to channel her or have visions of her and that she is his female guiding spirit. I mean, he's all spooky, man. In addition to being a con artist and a scammer, he's so far off target regarding anything biblical. And I've got some audio clips. I swear to God, he sounds like the devil. That's some blood-curdling stuff. I mean, stuff that you would think I had clipped out of The Exorcist. Really disturbing stuff. But before I get involved with all of that, I'm going to touch on the Huckabee statement today. We've heard people talking about it. It's been on most of the sites. It's probably been on the news, mainstream media, but as you know, I had to swear off mainstream media. I used to yell very, very loud and throw things, and it used to scare doggies, so I really had to just give it up. It wasn't working out here. So in any case, we've talked about Huckabee today saying that that gay marriage is the equivalent to a man and an animal. And I'm going to give you the full statement. The questioner said, is it your goal to bring the Constitution into strict conformity with the Bible? Some people would consider that a kind of dangerous undertaking, particularly given the variety of biblical interpretations. Well, Huckabee said, well, I don't think that's a radical view to say we're going to affirm marriage. Don't think anyone asked him about affirming marriage. They asked him about a literal biblical interpretation of the Constitution. But nonetheless, he went to say that it was affirming marriage. He says, I think the radical view is to say that we're going to change the definition of marriage so that it can mean two men, two women, a man and three women. Gee, a man and three women is biblical, so that would be allowed under the new laws. A man and a child, and a man and an animal. Again, once we change the definition, the door is open to changing it again. I think the radical position is to change what's been historic. Now, of course, this is disturbing on its own. It doesn't take much amplification for me to explain that to you, but very, very much a on-its-face sort of a story. But what is also disturbing about this is that people like Huckabee, these hucksters, if you'll pardon the pun, they feel that they are entitled to pick and choose from the Bible. You see, these are the things that we are, they wave their fingers at us and yell at us and scream, you can't pick and choose from the Bible, you know, that God loves everybody, you can't pick and choose. It says the homosexuals are going to go to hell, and you just can't pick and choose. You got to believe all of it or none of it. Et cetera, et cetera. But you see, these people are self-appointed prophets, and they're able to pick and choose. So his response to the question, bringing the Constitution to strict conformity with the Bible, was answered with an entire paragraph composed of multiple sentences that had only to do with homosexuals. There was no reference to the fact that a bride, if it's discovered she's not a virgin, the Bible demands that she be executed by stoning immediately. There was no reference to that if a person has sex with someone else's husband or wife, the Bible condemns them both as adulterers and should be stoned to death. Divorce is forbidden. That will be in the Constitution. But no, you see, he doesn't choose to incorporate those into the Constitution. There's a list of others. We've talked about them on this network for a couple of days now. No. The number one is, if a man gets into a fight with another man and his wife seeks to rescue her husband by grabbing the enemy's genitals, meaning his testicles, which we were discussing earlier with the pickup trucks or was it the trailer hitches, whatever. In any case, if she should attempt to crush her husband's enemy's stones by using her hand, her hand shall be cut off, and no pity shall be shown her. Just wanted to point out to you the amazing ability of God to communicate with these people and inform them which pieces of the Bible to pick and choose, which, of course, you, being a normal human being, you who do not have a pulpit, you who do not sit in that seat of power under the Klieg lights and the subwoofers and the multimedia presentations, you who have to work for a living, sometimes more than one job, you are not allowed to have any commune with God or any understanding of the whisperings of the Holy Spirit. You must take it from Huck that that's the only thing we need to change in the Constitution to make it biblical. Well, I just wanted to tell you about that. For me to get to Benny Hinn, I actually have to start with Oral Roberts. The Oral Roberts part is sort of a roundabout way, but it's the way we're going to introduce it, because it's kind of two stories in one. It's like a double mint gum. You can double your value here. Oral Roberts University has just accepted a gift of $62 million from a single donor. The gift is actually $70 million, but the donor gave them $8 million, and there was a condition for him to give them the other $62 million. And the university has jumped on it like a June bug and a potato. And I got to tell you, There's a particularly good reason for them accepting that. It could be that they're $50 million in debt and they are struggling for their economic life at this point in time. They're struggling under huge scandals, reduced donations. I'll tell you a bit about the scandals in a moment. But one of the conditions from this is the Green family, by the way. The condition for the Green family to give them the other $62 million to make it a total of 70, which the university jumped on, the condition was that they would have family members. Let's see, there's a number here. How many family members? Well, I think it was six or seven, but the bottom line was all those family members together would have a single vote on the board. And, by the way, his name is Mart Green, is the fellow who's making this donation. Now, he is the founder of a Christian office and education supply store chain. He has done rather well with the Jesus keychains and the praying notepads and all of the things that that I assume you would buy if you were buying from a Christian office and education supply store. Boy, anything that's got to do with office supplies, what, Staples is hooked up with Huckabee, what, he's bought all the stock and become a very wealthy man, and now with Christian office supplies, you know, they're everywhere. It, you know, kills me in the area that I live in. One of the huge contributors to the Republican Party and to the Bush coronation ball is a grocery store chain here in Florida. And in fact, in some areas of the Southeast, I think it expands up into probably Alabama and maybe a little bit. It's called Publix. It's a nice grocery store. I think it started down in South Florida. It's a nice store. And there's one on, it's very convenient. In fact, I have to pass two of them on the way home. So always I'll always shop there. But they are just huge contributors to the Republican Party. It always galls me that there's no other grocery store that's convenient. But at least I don't shop at Walmart. I won't go that far. Yes, I'm being corrected. It was Staples and Romney, not Huckabee. It's hard to keep these facts straight. There are so many. They're all, each one more disturbing than the one before it. So in any case, The Green family will have a vote on the board, and the it's going to make up, here we go, nine members of his family will be on the board, nine people, but they will have collectively one vote. For a total of 22 members, they're also stipulating that the current board be can stay, but they will be non-voting, and another group of people will be appointed. I think he's going to have a huge hand in picking. In other words, he's taking control of Oral Roberts University by saving them at the last minute. So, and the reason for that, of course, as I said, is the $50 million debt. Why is there a $50 million debt, you might ask? Well, to get there, I have to talk about the two of the sleaziest televangelists have just resigned from Oral Roberts University. And that would be, of course, Benny Hinn. And the other fellow's name is, I have it here somewhere. Here we go, Hillard. Benny Hinn and Ivy Hillard. Now, I don't really know Ivy Hillard off the top of my head. I didn't have a chance to Google it today, but he is one of the televangelists. They, both Benny and Ivy, resigned as regents. They were involved in making major decisions at the school. Can you say $50 million gone? And the spokesperson for the university, Jeremy Burton, is declining to say why they resigned, and that's, of course, very difficult for some people to figure out unless you're one of us. He said that both of them, both Benny and Ivy Hillard, have written to the board to express their support for the school's mission, but they got the hell out of Dodge when the Brown began to hit the fan. Now, I need to tell you, too, that Hinn, and another fellow named Dollar. See, Dollar is also. Let me back up a moment. Ben and Ivy Hillard just resigned, but this comes a month after another set of resignations from two other televangelists. We have four actually leaving within the 1 month period. The two that left last month were a fellow named Duplantis and Creflo Dollar. Isn't that not a wonderful name for a televangelist, especially with the new Prosperity Ministries that are all about greed rather than faith, but more about that later. In any case, Hinn and Dollar are among the six that are being investigated by Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley to determine if the high-profile preachers violated their organization's tax-exempt status by living lavishly on the backs of small donors. They are, of course, denying wrongdoing. Now, one of the audio clips that we're going to play, in fact, we're going to play it in just a moment, actually runs 9 minutes. Now, normally I don't run an audio clip that runs 9 minutes. I would break it up. But the fact of the matter is, this is a from a Dateline, and I'm giving them full credit for it. I've only edited off the beginning Dateline, blah, blah, blah. But it runs about 9 minutes. And I think you will quickly see that it is common knowledge amongst anyone in both the secular world and the IRS and the government and in fact, even among many of the evangelical ministers and the evangelical followers, that Hinn and these other gangsters, spiritual gangsters, I suppose I should call them, are as dirty as they come. We're going to run that audio in just a moment, but I want to tell you, before we get into the audio, another story about Oral Roberts University. Remember, this is all headed toward Benny Hinn, but before we get on Benny Hinn, I want to finish the bit about Oral Roberts University. Now, one of the things that has crippled Oral Roberts, in addition to the $50 million, oops, we don't know where it went, is I can only call it an unbelievable scandal. It's Mrs. Oral Roberts. Now, Mrs. Roberts is married to actually Oral Roberts' son. Oral Roberts himself is no longer the president. It's Oral Roberts' son, who is Richard Roberts. Now, Richard Roberts' wife is, I lost her name here, just Mrs. Roberts. Don't have a first name for her. Let's just call her Mrs. Slut Roberts. You'll get it in just a minute. And in any case, part of the problem here is that there seems to be a disconnect between Mrs. Roberts' husband, Richard Roberts, and God, because Richard Roberts sees his the capital, the funds for the university, as part of his personal piggy bank, and they go to a large degree into his bank account. This, of course, was supported and winked and nodded upon by Benny Hinn, who's an old-time "the money belongs in my bank account" kind of guy, and Dollar and Ivy Hillard, et cetera, et cetera. Now, in addition to the financial scandal, Mrs. Robertson, here's to you, Mrs. Robertson, she had a longtime maintenance employee fired so that an underage male friend of Mrs. Roberts could have his position. Well, okay, that's one thing. Doesn't sound too bad until you start connecting the dots. Now, Mrs. Roberts, who's also a member of the Board of Regents, is referred to at Oral Roberts University as the First Lady. But, honey, she is no lady. On the university's website, her cell phone bills were typically in excess of $800 per month. Why, you might ask? Well, it's because the activities she would do between 1 a.m. and 3 a.m. During the hours of 1 a.m. to 3 a.m., which seemed to be her most sexually and predatory active hours, she sent literally hundreds of PMs, personal messages, text messages is probably the best word for it, to underage males who were members who were students at the university. And all of these males have been provided phones at the university's expense. It's becoming quite clear that these 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. text messages were I don't know, we have phone sex. I guess we have chat room sex, certainly not here. We don't bother. We don't go there. But in other chat rooms, I'm sure they do. And but in any case, she was having BlackBerry sex. Okay, another part of the puzzle regarding where the funds have gone. The university jet was used on more than one occasion to transport family and friends on various trips. There was one particular trip where one daughter and several friends, a senior was the daughter's friend. They took a trip to Orlando, and then from Orlando they continued on to the Bahamas. The total trip cost was $29,411, and it was billed to the ministry as an evangelistic function of the president. Mrs. Roberts, as I continue, spent more than $39,000 at Chico's, which is, of course, a very high-end clothing store, and that one store alone. She did that in less than a year. She had other accounts in Texas and in California, and repeatedly has been quoted as saying, by multiple people who have heard her say it, I quote, "As long as I wear it once on TV, we can't. We, or, sorry, we can charge it off as long as I wear it once on TV weekend. Charge it off. And the documents indicate that there are many inconsistencies regarding her clothing purchases and actual usage on television. Mrs. Roberts was given a white Lexus SUV and a red Mercedes convertible by ministry donors. University and ministry employees were regularly summoned to the Roberts home to, are you sitting down, do their daughter's homework. The university and the ministry maintained a stable of horses for exclusive use by the Roberts children. In addition, the Roberts home has been remodeled 11 times in the past 14 years. Oh, there's more. It's just a different page. I've had to pull this from so many different locations. It's a little spread out. The university is also being sued by several professors who were claiming wrongful termination. One of the reasons they were terminated is that they had a mindset that they were going to expose Oral Roberts University for what it was, the personal piggy bank for the Roberts family. Some of them have gone on record saying that the Oral Roberts University faculty or Roberts family should be using their own banking accounts rather than the university's. More about the sleazy part of Oral Roberts. In addition to all the other things I just told you, there's a new lawsuit that says that Richard Roberts gave a, quote, convicted sexual deviant unrestricted access to the students of the university. Notice they're not using the word homosexual here, so you can be sure it was a man against a little girl, because this is the way it works. If it's a man against a little boy, it's always homosexual, but if it's a man against a little girl, it's always just deviant or pedophile. But we've covered those stories before. The person that was in that position was the direct personal instruction under the supervision of Richard Roberts. And the person who was this sexual deviant, as they call it, was identified as a mentor for Oral Roberts University students, confessing to the fact that he, well, this was his reason why they're calling him a sexual deviant. He confessed to the facts that he has exposed himself to a 15-year-old in a school locker room. Now, there's also much more about Mrs. Roberts' relationships with teenage boys. And this is going to be very hard for them to explain away. One of the reports says that deadbolt locks were installed in all of the bedrooms in the Roberts residence because the oldest daughter insisted on these deadbolt locks, which locked from inside the room, to keep someone out. And who would that someone be? Well, the problem was is that Mrs. Roberts moved her 16-year-old boyfriend into the home. And that made the daughters very uncomfortable, and so the daughters insisted that there be deadbolt locks. Also, the assessment says that Mrs. Roberts has personally spent the night in the Oral Roberts University guest house with an underage male on 9 separate occasions. She's got the lust for the young boys, doesn't she? And according to the reports, there are also photos of Mrs. Roberts with one of her boy toys. Smoking at the president's residence, as well as a set of 29 snapshots of the first lady in her sports car after midnight with an underage teenage male. So she moves them in her house. She does it on off-campus facilities. There drives them around. She's a hot little honey. Makes you wonder what Robert's problem is. Could Robert be gay? Could Oral Roberts' son be gay, that she feels the need to. That's a whole other story, I'm sure. So in any case, there's lots going on at Oral Roberts University, and a federal judge has put out to seal it. You can't discuss it, you can't talk about it, sort of a thing, because everybody's getting very upset by it. And it might come out that some of these details that have leaked out might come out more strongly. But let's move on to Benny Hinn. Now, Benny Hinn is, of course, a huge part of Oral Roberts University, and has been until he stepped down, and along with the other televangelists. Interesting thing about Benny Hinn is that, you see, he started a church. Now, where was it? In Florida, South Florida somewhere. He started a church, and that was back, I think in the 90s he started a church, or in the late 80s. And like 4 or 5 years, 6, 7 years, there's some dates in here somewhere. He sold it. He said, "Now you sell a church," but he sold it to another preacher. I guess it was an independent church or one that was not affiliated with the denomination. So he sold it. So officially, he is no longer a minister at that point with having a congregation and a pulpit and a church. And he became a for real televangelist. So. There's much concern. His salary is somewhere between $500,000 and $1 million a year. Nobody can tell for sure. He has a $10 million seaside mansion. He owns a private jet, and this private jet costs about $1.5 million a year to operate. By the way, he's buying a new jet. He has just hit his people who pay attention to him and tune into his programs and go to his revivals and his huge meetings at conference centers. He's hitting them up for $6 million to replace that jet because it's not good enough, with one that he's going to call Dove One. Can you believe that? There's a lot. But to set the picture for the image for this, I could explain a lot to you just by running this particular piece that Dateline did. Now, as I say, it runs about 9 minutes, but it's fact after fact after fact. There was no point in my chopping it up or trying to. I did attempt to find a PDF of it or some sort of that I could actually tell you the story and interpret it, but it just was not existent that I could locate. So we're actually going to run the audio from Dateline, and thank you, Dateline. Bob, please run Benny Hinn.
Though Hinn refuses to make his financial information public, he has said that every dollar given to his ministry goes to the work of the Lord. Be that as it may, Benny Hinn does manage to live very well. His home is this mansion overlooking the Pacific Ocean, built and paid for by his ministry. According to building records, it has 7 bedrooms, 8 bathrooms, and more than 7,000 square feet of living space. The ministry told us the mansion was its parsonage and a good investment. According to area realtors, today it's worth about $10 million. And when Hinn goes to crusades around the world, he travels in this private jet. According to documents we obtained, the ministry pays more than $112,000 a month to use the plane. And closer to home, Pastor Benny still travels in style. This photo obtained by Dateline shows him getting out of a Mercedes SUV, and here he is driving a Mercedes convertible. Both cars retail for about $80,000. We've received new information from deep inside the Hinn organization, and others have come forward to tell us that we only scratch the surface when it comes to Benny Hinn, his money, and his miracles. Listen to what this former Hinn insider says.
There was never one complete record that would suit the criteria for a documented miracle healing. And that troubled me deeply. To me, this was a fraud and deception being put across the people that are his donors.
And something else came our way since our first report. Hundreds of pages of ministry expense documents. A look at these documents shows that while he's on ministry business, Hinn stays in luxury hotel rooms. At this crusade in Milwaukee, the documents indicate Benny Hinn occupied the presidential suite of the Pfister Hotel. The hotel told us the room cost $990 a night. At a crusade in Panama, the documents show, and we verified with the Intercontinental Hotel, that Hinn was in the Royal Suite, the published rate, $1,700 a night. At a crusade in Montreal, we verified Pastor Benny was ensconced in the Royal Suite of the St. James Hotel. The regular rate there, $2,700 a night. The room is as big as an average house, 2,200 square feet, including a makeup room, dressing room, and a piano that plays by itself. And we found some other trips that seemed to have little to do with spreading the word of God. This member of Hinn's security team, who we'll call Steve, and whose appearance and voice we've disguised, says he traveled with Pastor Benny and personally escorted him on shopping excursions. According to Steve and other ministry sources, Hinn is a regular at Beverly Hills clothing stores like Versace, Louis Vuitton, and Bijan, where Hinn's name is on the window along with princes and heads of state. But there are questions raised by some of the purchases we found in those expense documents. For example, in just over 4 weeks in 2003, we found six separate charges at high-end clothing stores totaling more than $6,000, all charged on the ministry's corporate card. The ministry told us that every single trip made by Pastor Benny is approved by his executive board. But we were intrigued by what appear to be stops made by Pastor Benny at resorts and spas around the world on his way to and from crusades. The ministry called these stops layovers. Now, for most of us travelers, a layover means long hours waiting for a connection in an unfamiliar airport, maybe an overnight stay at a low-rent hotel. But remember, Pastor Benny travels in the ministry's private jet and sets his own schedule. So consider Benny Hinn's version of a layover. On his way home to California from this crusade in Colombia, the documents show, and the hotel confirmed for us, Pastor Benny stopped at this resort in Cancun, Mexico. He stayed in the presidential suite there that cost the ministry $2,684 for one night. The trip was described as a layover. Right now. After crusades in Russia and Sweden in July of 2003, Pastor Benny apparently didn't get on his private jet, fly west, and go home. Instead, he flew from Sweden south to Italy, then back north to England, with an entourage that included his son, his daughter, and her fiancé. There were expensive meals, like this one for more than $900 in Italy, and one at this Lebanese restaurant in London for more than $1,700. And check out these hotel bills. In Italy, transportation charges of more than $6,000. In London, another $6,000 for incidentals, such as chauffeur services and in-room tea. The documents also list tips. In 3 days, more than $4,500 worth, including $1,000 to a concierge and another $1,000 to a desk manager. And then there were Pastor Benny's hotel rooms. In London, the documents show, Hinn stayed at the exclusive Lanesborough Hotel. The hotel confirmed for us it was Suite 210 and told us that they never discount rooms. The going rate, the hotel says, more than $3,000 a night. And then there was Pastor Benny's hotel room in Milan. According to the expense documents, room 1001. The hotel confirmed it's the presidential suite. The hotel website says the room is fit for a prince and the largest hotel suite in Europe. Among its 5,400 square feet, three bedrooms, a formal dining room, a fireplace, a jacuzzi, a sauna, a Turkish bath, a large terrace with a panoramic view of the city, and a 100-foot-long swimming pool decorated with marble and frescoes. The hotel told us this room rents for more than $10,000 a night. No discounts. In its email to us, the ministry said that Hinn uses a private jet for security reasons and that it's often necessary to make layovers to refuel his plane and for the pilots to rest. Not surprisingly, Hinn critic Ole Anthony has a different view.
It's just a lifestyle. He believes he deserves it. His board of directors says it's okay. So what are you going to do?
And when they rationalize it by saying, after all, he's the head of a $100 million a year organization.
It has nothing to do with it. You're called to be a servant, a bondservant of Christ, not to live like a king.
According to the documents we obtained and ministry insiders, there is also a great deal of cash going out. According to these receipts in 2003, much of it apparently went to Benny Hinn and his family members. This petty cash chit, $1,300 to Hinn's daughter Jessica, no reason given. And this one, $2,550 to her fiancé for watching Joshua, Pastor Benny's son. According to the expense documents, in just over a month in 2003, more than $23,000 of ministry cash was dispensed to Pastor Benny and his wife, who's also a ministry employee. And we found this record showing $25,000 in cash dispersed to accompany Pastor Benny and for a crusade in Anaheim, California, just 30 miles from his house.
It's not just Pastor Benny. It's all of these big ministries. They start believing that they are special. And all of that ministry money is their piggy bank.
This is how Pastor Benny explained it to his followers when he declined to speak to us for our first report.
You may have a question, by the way, on why I did not go on that program. Very simple. The Lord said, don't.
So we approached Pastor Benny after a crusade in Toronto, and we recorded the encounter with a hidden camera.
Why will you not audit and publicly release your finances?
Sit with the entente about it.
Well, we've talked about this before, and you have not gladly sat. Well, sir, I've been asking you for an interview for 3 years.
Well, I did not.
And I'm still waiting. And through it all, Pastor Benny maintains that he has truth and God on his side.
Look at these eyes. I have never lied to you. Never. I never will. I'd rather die than lie to God's people.
And what would Christian watchdog Ole Anthony like to say to Pastor Benny?
Your ministry is based on lies. And it's time to begin telling the truth, because you're going to have to meet your Maker soon.
Well, there you have an idea. Now, the interesting part about this is this sort of information, this is not the first Dateline interview, or report, rather, on Benny Hinn. This is in the public domain. The IRS knows it. The Congress knows it. Many of the flock know it. but nonetheless, it goes on and on. Earlier I mentioned to you that Charles Grassley of Iowa, who's the interestingly enough, ranking Republican in the Senate's Finance Committee, is investing six of them. Now, those six are Paula White, Joyce Meyer. We've talked about Joyce Meyer on the program before. I've actually had to sit through several hours of Joyce Meyer, the stern, unchrist-like woman. What can I tell you? She was all business, cha-ching, and my books are on sale in the lobby. Creflo Dollar is being investigated. Bob has pointed out that Creflo Dollar, by the way, has two Rolls Royces and a Gulfstream jet, among many other possessions. Eddie Long, Kenneth Copeland, Benny Hinn. Now, three of them are all on the board of regents for Oral Roberts University. That's Benny Hinn, Kenneth Copeland, and Creflo Dollar. Now, this being well-known information, you have to ask yourself, what in the hell would Oral Roberts University put this type of person on their board? Well, the answer is fairly clear. They were also skimming and using the university funds as their personal piggy bank. So Creflo Dollar and Benny Hinn and Kenneth Copeland and the others that yes, those three were all birds of a feather. They fit in rather well there at Oral Roberts University. So you have to say you get what you get. You know, sometimes things do work out, and you get what you deserve. By the way, let's talk about that new jet. This is what Benny Hinn has said to his people. Purchasing this incredible ministry tool is monumental. It's historic. We have never bought any plane with this much range or capacity or capability. It will crisscross the globe repeatedly so I can present the gospel in person to unprecedented millions of precious souls who will accept and come to know our wonderful Jesus as the eternal Savior. Now is the time to move forward with Dove One, the name of the plane. What we can do for the sake of the gospel, we must do now. He goes on to say, I have enclosed a beautiful photo-filled brochure to explain more about this incredible ministry tool that will increase the scope of our abilities to preach the gospel around the globe. Now we must pay the remainder of the down payment. So I am asking the Lord Jesus to speak to 6,000 of my precious partners to sow a seed of $1,000 in the next 90 days. I am praying, even as I write this letter, you will be one of them. 6,000 people at $1,000 a pop, that's $6 million. I know that the Lord, that you will obey the Lord, and He will open the heavens wide and cause a mighty harvest of blessings to descend on you and your life and all you do. The next step is absolutely vital to everything we are called to do. It is the only way I can continue to do all of God's work, and God is directing me during these prophetic days, blah, 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 blah. Your seed of $1,000 or more toward Dove One will reap a harvest for years. Of course, they take credit cards. What can I tell you? Now, talk a little bit about the theology of Benny Hinn. He claims to possess the power of God in his hands. He maintains that he has a personal anointing that feels like electricity radiating through his extremities. Often he will call to those in the audience who claim that they've been healed to come up on the stage and testify about what's happened to them during these, well, you have to have gone to something like this, as I have, to fully appreciate it. The text here refers to it as emotionally charged, but it's much, much more than that. He lays hands on them, and of course they collapse in the Holy Spirit. Now, normally he will go, a little puff of air, like he, you know, he's blowing them over, just a whisper from Christ, and over they go. And that's called slaying in the Spirit, by the way. And if they don't fall, he takes a rather aggressive tack. He will put both hands on their shoulders and push them backwards. And of course, behind them are the waiting attendants who catch them. And this it has every mark of a staged and very manipulative folder. Performance. The Trinity Foundation, by the way, has submitted a 3-inch thick report to the IRS showing that the Hinn ministry fails to meet the IRS definition of a church. Here's the text. The Hinn started the church in Orlando in 1983. He sold it in 1999. How you sell a church, I still don't know. However, you see, even though he sold his church, Benny Hinn Ministries, BHM, is still classified as a church. In other words, now Benny Hinn himself is the church. Talk about warped theology. Consider that. He's claiming himself to be a church. He has no accountability. The board of directors for Benny Hinn is a revolving door. If somebody comes in and disagrees with him, he changes the board. He uses the ministry. He uses it as much as $100,000 a year, or $100 million a year, rather, as his personal piggy bank. Lives in a $10 million parsonage. We talked about the hotel rooms on the audio that you just heard, shopping sprees. He has absolutely no accountability. You see, there's an organization that tracks it's accountability, and many Christian organizations subscribe to it. And what it is it's a organization that goes through the financial records so that donors can be sure that the money is going where they say it's going. In other words, when you're on the up and up, you join this organization. The name of it's buried a little bit further in. But of course, Benny Hinn is not a part of that. Now, because of that, the MinistryWatch.com has put out a donor alert encouraging donors to consider withholding funds from the church. Let's talk about some of his. We talked about the jet. Let's talk about some of his incredible statements. We have some more audio here. These are very, very short clips. Now, the audio quality on these clips is not all that clean. Sounds to me as if it was taken from AM radio. Or here we go. I've located it. Papers rustle. He uses fear tactics and screaming and yelling and false prophecies, telephones. They begs and begs for money. Let's talk about some of his false prophecies. Let's hear some of them. I'm going to actually give them to you. The clips are short, but some of them are not very intelligible. The first clip is on Castro. Benny Hinn claims that the Spirit tells me that he said this back in the early 90s. The Spirit tells me that Fidel Castro will die in the 90s. He says, "Oh my, someone will try to kill him, but they will not succeed. But there will become a change in his physical health, that he will not stay in power, and Cuba will be visited by God." Bob, run Castro, please.
The Spirit tells me Fidel Castro will die in the 90s. Oh, my. Some will try to kill him, and they will not succeed. But there will come a change in his physical health, and he will not stay in power. And Cuba will be visited of God.
Now, you may wonder why I'm going after Benny Hinn with, I've already been going for about 50 minutes on him. There's still plenty more to go, by the way. We're not nearly done with Benny Hinn. Why I would go on after him so badly? Well, you know, what has he ever done to me? I've never been ripped off by him. I've never been taken in by him. Well, the next audio clip may explain that. In this clip, Benny Hinn says, "The Lord also tells me to tell you that in the mid-90s, about 94 or 95, no later than that, God will destroy the homosexual community of America." Audience applauds loudly. But he will not destroy it with what many minds have thought him to be. He will destroy it with fire. And many will be turned and saved, and many will rebel and be destroyed. Bob Run, homosexuals.
The Lord also tells me to tell you in the mid-90s, about 94, 95, no later than that, God will destroy the homosexual community of America. But he will not destroy it with what many minds have thought him to be. He will destroy it with fire. And many will turn and be saved, and many will rebel and be destroyed.
Next, he says that Jesus is going to start appearing to wake people up. Jesus is going to start appearing to tell them he's coming. Excuse me, would you just pose yourself a quick question here? Why would Jesus appear to tell people he's going to come? I'm sorry, you can't make this stuff up. Bob, please run Jesus appearing.
I'm prophesying this. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is about to appear physically in some churches. I believe that Jesus, God's Son, is about to appear physically in meetings and to believers around the world to wake us up. He appeared after his resurrection, and he's about to appear before his second coming.
This is the scary one. In fact, there's more than one scary one. In fact, this one is not nearly as scary as the one following it, but we don't want to scare you all at once. Benny Hinn is cursing his opponents. He places a curse on all those who would dare to come against this ministry, as he puts it. He says, "Yes, Lord, I'll do it. I'll place a curse on every man and every woman that will stretch out his hand against this anointing. I curse that man who dares to speak a word against this ministry." Bob Run, curse too, please. We may be having a problem with curse too. If we are, let's move on to the anointing.
Take the fire on you, doctor. Whatever sickness is there, the demon must bow to the name of the Master Jesus. Jesus. Lord, I'll do it. I place a curse on every man and every woman that will stretch his hand against this anointing. I curse that man who dares to speak a word against this ministry.
Now, all of us are thinking people, and you do not need me to point this out, but nonetheless, because I'm on the radio, this is what my job is, so I will have to point it out to you. Did you hear the underlying evil, the underlying exorcist level of just pure dripping hate in that man's voice? Did you hear anything that sounded Christ-like? The man is talking about putting curses on people. Now, the fundamentalists who just listen to what the pastors say know that you're not supposed to put curses on people or consult with astrologers or fortune tellers. All these things are in the Bible, and you know whether you adhere to those is entirely your business. But I'm just telling you that you know not only is it just pure evil, it's not even freaking biblical. This man is going to. And now that's curse too. Bob just ran that track for us. But it gets really scary when he goes into this next clip. You'll hear him growling again. Now, this is just after he's pronounced a curse on all of his enemies and a blessing on his friends, which was mixed in there somewhere. Hinn explains that he is anointed and that the anointing is on him. and that his pronouncements cannot fail. In other words, he is infallible. In other words, he is godlike. So he says, under this anointing, the words I speak cannot fall to the ground. Everything I say happens. Are you scared yet? Bob, please run anointing.
Do you ever do what I'm doing now? This is the Holy Ghost on me telling me to do this. Under this anointing, the words I speak cannot fall to the ground. Under this anointing, everything I say cannot.
Okay, I held this one back from you. I told you that we're going progressively scary. Well, there's one even scarier than the one you've just heard. He's casting fire. He's casting the fire of anointing on the preachers. He says, bring the preachers. And he calls up Paul Crouch. Now, Paul Crouch is the obvious homosexual man with the drag queen wife. You may have seen them on TVN. Now, you would have to see it to truly appreciate this. Paul Crouch is a wimpy little guy with a 70s gay mustache. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I had a mustache in the 70s and 80s. But anyway, that's a whole other story, and one day we'll go there. But in any case, Paul has this program on TBN, the Trinity Broadcasting Network. In fact, I think they own the damn thing. And his wife is a huge, big old, amplified version of Barbie. She's got big old hair. It's just huge. It is all like white, but she's like young, but her hair is like dyed white. And she has makeup for days and boobs out to there, and it's all tight, and she's wearing sequins. And I tell you, she looks like the world's most fabulous drag queen. Well, she's always hanging on them, and she talks like this, and she's just so sweet and innocent. And anyway, there's a whole other story. In fact, I have some Paul. This may take more than one night. I have some Paul Crouch stuff buried in here. We may get to all of that tonight. But in any case, he calls Paul up, and another somebody named Ken. Now, we think it's Ken Copeland, but we don't know for sure. And he begins casting fire on people, and he begins growling, and he begins to throw the fire and screaming, and he later starts throwing the fire at groups of men, and then he began throwing the fire at the entire choir. Now, all of these people immediately, because they know they're supposed to, fell down immediately. And in the case of the ministers on the stage, what was it, Paul Crouch and Ken? Now, in the case of the ministers, after they fell down, Ken, in a very gruff, stern tone of voice, ordered that they should be picked back up on their feet, so that he could throw them down again. And he did that a number of times, screaming, fire, fire. And he was growling, and this is from hell itself. I mean, literally. Bob, run fire.
Fire! 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 Oh. Fire on your ministry! Bring us with your faith. Bring us with you. 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 Fire! 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 Fire on you! Paul Crouch, get down here! Get down here! God, fire on you, Paul! Fire! Fire on you, Jack! Fire! Fire!
That put a chill in your spine? It did mine. Satan himself could have not intoned those words better. This is so far from... you already know where I'm going. It's so far from what the brown skinned carpenter, as Bob would call it, so far from it, it just amazes me. It just blows me away. You see, these ministers are like Disney. You see, these people who actually follow someone like a Benny Hill are short attention span thrill seekers. They're not about Christianity or faith or at all. What they are about, they're addicted to religion, and they're there for the thrill. They're there for the ride. It's like Disney World every few months recreates itself. They put in a new a new theme or a new roller coaster or whatever Disney does. Well, you see, each of these evangelists, in order to keep the short attention span, knuckle-dragging, thrill-seeking so-called evangelicals, to keep them in his pocket, to keep the checks coming, there has to be a new thrill ride, a new fire, a new spiritual awakening. There has to be something new. It has to. So the more creative these people are, the more that they can keep these people who have the depth of a PowerPoint presentation listening and sending money. Example, here, another audio clip. He's suggesting that if you want a blessing or an anointing, you must give money to TBN, Trinity Broadcasting Network. You must give money. Bob, please run pay anointing, please.
And Paul, while you were speaking, the Lord spoke to me, and I have to obey him. He said, tell Paul, thank you, Lord, for this. You know, I've been praying about something I've asked the Lord for when it comes to the anointing. And the Lord said, you tell Paul that in the next few months, and I'll do this in no more than 6 months, I will sow $150,000 into TBN. No, I have to obey the Lord, because the Lord wants to bring something to me in our ministry. You see, the ground here is very anointed right now. So Lord, I'm doing it now. I'm sowing, Master, and I'm expecting this miracle too, Lord. And Lord, I'm proving myself worthy again of your trust. Lord, we know it's not the money. We know it's our hearts, and it's our obedience to you when you speak to us. To you be praised, Jesus. Now, some of you at home need to do the same.
I'm sorry, just laughing. Oh, I wish everybody could see production chat. Bob is such a wet. We won't repeat what Bob said. Bob could do that. He can say that on his show. But we're not done with the audio. We are not done with the audio. Next, he says that Jesus will appear on a stage with him in Nairobi. He prophesies. He considers himself a prophet. The power and the glory, it's all invested in him. And by the way, I don't think there's any secret amongst the listeners, maybe a new listeners, but I am a person of faith, and I don't mind going after these scandals one little bit. I don't mind telling you the truth. I could just hear some people, though, well, that homosexual, do you hear him? He's a homosexual. He's going after Benny Hinn. He's going to go to hell. His baby snatcher, I know he is. Anyway, he prophesies that Jesus is going to appear on stage with him in Nairobi, in Kenya. Well, I want to tell you that during that appearance in Nairobi, Kenya, not only did Jesus not appear, four people and a baby died. He was a guest shortly after that on a program called Behind the Scenes. It's part of TBN. And Jim Crouch, who is the gay man with the 70s mustache and with the drag queen Barbie doll wife, and they ran the video from Nairobi, but there was not even the slightest mention of Jesus appearing. And neither did Benny Hinn explain why the prophecy had not happened, and neither did he mention that four people and a baby died during his healing extravaganza. He also said that Jesus was going to be seen amongst the Muslim countries. Bob, run Nairobi, please.
You know, a prophet just sent me a word through my wife right here. And she said, tell your husband that Jesus is going to physically appear in his meetings. I'm expecting to see, I'm telling you, that I feel it's going to happen. I know deep in my soul something supernatural is going to happen in Nairobi, Kenya. I may very well come back. We may very well come back with footage of Jesus on the platform.
He may very well come back with pictures of Jesus on the platform. On the platform with him under the Klieg lights in Kenya. Bob is asking where he's from. And Benny Hinn, it's a good question, Bob, and it's buried in here somewhere. He's not from here. He has the mother's from one country in Europe, and the father's from another country in Europe, and and I almost I didn't print that for whatever reason. I don't have it in front of me, but it's on Wikipedia. If you want to know where he, what his background and his strange voice and his heritage is, you can just Wikipedia Benny Hinn, and it will tell you there. That's the part I didn't print that. And then we go on. There's more. Then Benny Hinn will be glad to tell you the glory of Benny Hinn. Lord have mercy. It's so unbiblical. It almost makes me fear going to hell just telling you about it. It's that filthy. It is that vile. It is that disgusting. It's excrement. It's verbal excrement, and people are paying for this. Extravagantly paying for this. Bob, please run the clip called Glory.
If I don't release it, I'll blow up. If I don't release that anointing, I'll blow up. I gotta release it on somebody.
Yes, the glory that is within him, he will blow up. Bob points out, thank you for looking that up, Bob. Benny Hinn is Greek Armenian. He's a mix of one parent's Greek, the other Armenian. He was born in Israel. And then there was the TBN telethon. And he tries to scare people into sending money, claiming that if they don't, the Lord will pass them by, as if he never knew them. See, that's almost biblical. See, it's almost, except Jesus is saying, away from me, I never knew you. You know, the ones who work miracles that say they work miracles in my name, and et cetera, et cetera. Jesus isn't talking about the people that didn't send money, but, it's almost biblical. I mean, that if they didn't, the Lord would pass them by as if he never knew them. Such skill. Even the devil can quote scriptures. He tells them that God is already passing many people by, but he won't pass them by because they're going to send money. In this clip, he also says the Lord has audibly said that to him. He says, I heard it. He said, people, I don't often hear the Lord's voice audibly, but I heard the Lord's voice audibly. He said, tell them, time is running out. Call now. If you call now, you'll get a free Vegematic. Tell them, time's running out. Just horrified. He said, then I heard another voice that I believe is the voice of the Holy Spirit, and he said, tell the people. And the atmosphere changed around me when the Spirit said, tell the people. He said, tell the people I am passing by many, and once I pass you by, it will be as if I never knew you. Complete warp of what the Scripture says. In other words, when there's a last call, this is the last call. Do you remember what the Scripture said? And then he goes to something about young virgins. You got to love this. He switches over to try to get money. He switches over. You remember what the Scripture said when he said the young virgins that had some oil and some didn't have any? Then he moves on to say the five wise, the five foolish. We are in it. We are in it, people. He is passing by many. I still don't know what the virgins and the oil have to do with the passing of the basket and God fleeing the ones who don't give. But nonetheless, Bob, run passers-by.
The Lord said to me audibly, I heard, people, I don't often hear the Lord's voice audibly, but I heard the Lord's voice audibly. He said, tell them, time is running out. Then I heard another voice that I believe is the voice of the Holy Spirit. He said, tell the people. And the atmosphere changed when that happened. He said, tell the people, I'm passing by many. And once I pass by, it would be as though I never knew them. In other words, it's the last call. Do you remember what he said in the scripture? When he said, the young virgins that some had the oil and some didn't have any. The five wise, the five foolish, we are in it. We're in it. People, he's passing by many. Thank God he's not passing you by.
Passing by many, something about virgins. Get out your tickets, pull out your cash, or you won't be able to get a ticket into heaven. This movie is filling up fast. And the ones who make this train call the money train. A reminder, Benny Hinn and the Dollar Fellow, and along with what's-his-face, his name is buried somewhere in here, one of the other three, are all, what's Oral Roberts doing with these people at Oral Roberts University? You know, Roberts has a long history in this country. Goes back to Billy Graham and there's Oral Roberts. These are the old-time people. These are not supposed to be the people who are doing this stuff. It tells me that this sort of corruption and intentional misleading people is not anything new. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men, and he deceiveth them from the bubble. Interesting. This one I must share. I won't start preaching to you, but this one I've got to share to you because I've actually set and seen this. I've seen this before, and Benny Hinn has done this. It's from Matthew. It says, "Then if any man shall say to you, Lo, here is Christ, or there is Christ, believe it not. If they say he's in the desert, don't bother to go." And you know, signs and wonders, blah blah. Anyway, I had to sit through in Pensacola this so-called ministry. And part of it, all of it was, you know, slaying in the spirit, and I can only, you know, before the man came out to preach, I can only tell you that he had 20-something women come out dressed in what I can only call coochie clothes, and the dresses were all very tight and all, you know, it was all out there for public, all right, and they actually got up there and sang, more of a high energy, more of a contemporary type of Christian music. It wasn't like Rock of Ages, but they were doing the more high energy type, so they could boogie to it. You know what I'm saying? I sat there horrified. I was so horrified, and I looked around me, and these people were clapping and they were enjoying it. You could tell the men were getting off on it from one point of view, but then there was a spiritual angle, and I just was horrified. And many of us who think, this does not make me special, it just makes me someone who could think, I was very difficult to take. But Benny Hinn is one of those also who says the Lord hears, the Lord did. But anyway, the reason I bring up the hoochie girls is because when the man finally came out and preached, part of it was, I can feel the Holy Spirit moving in this room. I can feel the Holy Spirit moving in this room. And he would say, the Holy Spirit's over there! And he would throw his arms over in one direction, like on the side of the stage. And then what would happen is all of the people like in the front and second row would start running. They would get up and they would run over to that portion of the stage, or approach the stage, and they'd actually be on the ground level. They wouldn't be on the stage, but they would run up to it, and then as soon as they got up to that part of the stage, they would all fall down on the floor, slain in the spirit. And then he would say, and I feel the spirit moving. The spirit is moving over there. And they move to the other side. The people from that side would all come running up to the stage, and they would fall out on the floor. Honey, I have seen some things. I have seen some things that would turn your hair white. I really ought to write a book. I really should. Oh, my stars. This was the period, this was the year I was held captive by the Pentecostals in Pensacola, which I think I told some of you about a while back. I won't go into that story again because it's a long story. It has to do with, recovery, a Christian-based recovery center, and it was not for my homosexuality. But in any case, I was trapped. I was held prisoner by the Pentecostals in Pensacola, Florida for a year. I saw things that I saw the speaking in tongues. I saw the falling down on the floor. I saw the blankets thrown in. I saw the spirits over here, the spirits over there. I've heard the preaching and ranting against homosexuals from the pulpit. I've seen people sitting up on the stage behind the minister with I can only describe as a towel over their head. And later, there are some of the other people who are like more experienced than this. I'm like, what is up there with the, what is this woman sitting on the stage with a towel over her head? It completely covered her hair, her head, and apparently the it was all prayer cloth. Well, of course, we've all heard of prayer cloths, but I didn't know you wore them on your head. Lord, I've got to write a book. We have Alan on the line. Alan, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Good evening to you, Alan. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine. Can you hear me okay?
Great. Yes, sir, I sure can. Thank you for calling. This is Alan the Trucker, folks.
Yeah, I'm from Birmingham, Alabama, which is in Jefferson County, and I found out from Over the Mountain Democrats, the organization I belong to, that Jefferson County, Alabama, has given Phil Schlafly and the Eagle Forum $15,000 to come to Birmingham to give a speech of my tax money.
That's just incredible to have. That violates so many levels of public trust and so many levels of what you're supposed to do with your tax dollars that I am almost struck speechless. When is this supposed to happen?
I don't know. I'm looking at it now. It probably already happened. I got their email a few weeks ago, but I just you talking about these issues this evening made me think about it. So I went to Over the Mountain Democrats website and reading about it again. It's pretty up. People are pretty upset about it. I think the Birmingham News is the one who pointed it out first, which is pretty good because they're usually a conservative newspaper. So I think they're waking up.
I think you're right. You know, Birmingham is there are, of course, conservative parts of all cities, but my understanding is that Birmingham, by far, is actually fairly progressive. I know they had, like, a huge gay pride celebration there last year. There are like, Democratic parties that are very active in Birmingham. So, yes, there must be a whole lot of people who are just furious about this.
Yeah, I was reading here about people posting things on the site about it. They're angry about it. It sounded like there were some readers' opinions in the paper about it. But Jefferson County, I guess that covers the conservative outer parts of Birmingham also, which looks like there's a lot of the people who are on the Jefferson County Commission are conservatives, which shouldn't be that way. Something must be wrong.
Well, they're, you know what wouldn't surprise me much? If there comes up some sort of a ruckus about this, and then what will happen is the conservatives will get to say, you know, the godless heathens, you know, stopped it, so we're going to pay for it out of our own pocket, so the churches will support it, and it serves both purposes. It gets them there, and then they get to act the hero. Wouldn't surprise me a bit. I'm sorry, go ahead, please.
Yeah, this phone, I think, has a delay on it, but sometimes I wish that the Eagle Forum didn't change their name. I wish it was still called the Moral Majority so I could have a bumper sticker that says the Moral Majority is neither.
Yeah, I'm seeing now that one of our chatters pulled up the article for me, so I'm now able to see it. There's a huge budget shortfall, apparently. That they have a $30 million budget shortfall, and they want to spend $15,000 to pull this group into town. And they're going to talk about global warming and immigration and education, which no doubt means preaching in the school, and a list of other politically charged topics. You are absolutely right. This is, I believe, thank you for telling me about this. This is something I would like to follow. In fact, I may attempt to get someone from Birmingham on the show next week to talk about some of this. Somebody who's actually there. That's great. That's interesting information.
All right. Well, that'd be great. I'll be listening then, and I'll keep listening this evening too.
Well, thank you. Well, we are shortly. We're going to run. We do the little segment at the end of the show where we have the DJ of the night. We're going to have our friend VJC on at shortly after 10:30, and that'll be interesting. And then, in any case, Alan, I always enjoy hearing from you. Where are you, by the way?
I'm up in Massachusetts now, waiting to get my truck unloaded.
My stars! Well, you're in one of those liberal states.
I know.
Yeah,
I wish I could stay here.
Actually,
I like it up here, really. I like New York. I like the Northeast.
Yeah. Yeah, I sometimes think that Massachusetts, you have to be really proud of a state like that to, you know, what is it? They have the lowest abortion rate, the lowest, kids dropping out of school rate. There's all these very, very low, very high education. And it's interesting that, education plays a part in that because in so many of the red states, the opposite is true. Very high divorce rates, very large number of abortions, et cetera, et cetera. And they're poorly educated. And everybody hates those liberals, those illiberal elites, there's a word they use for it. I've lost the word. Intellectuals, that's the word. They'd love to call us intellectuals. Not that I call myself that, but that's you're amongst the blue intellectuals. I think that's wonderful. Please bring us a bucket.
Hey, can gay people get married in the state?
Absolutely, and they actually call it marriage. They do not call it civil union. It's for real marriage, and they have every right, all of the same rights as anyone else who's married in Massachusetts from the state level, of course, but they don't have any federal rights because that's part of the federal government. Massachusetts can only extend it to within the state, so there's no, like, Social Security benefits or, survivor benefits, all that sort of thing from Social Security. But yes, inheritance and visiting in hospital, yes, you could absolutely, it is the only state that you could actually get married. I mean, there are places you can get a civil union and all that sort of thing, but Massachusetts is, you got to be proud of a state like that. If for no other reason, Ellen, if for no other reason, you got to be proud of a state like that because they scare the hell out of the others.
Yeah, I got in an argument with a relative one time, and I said, Massachusetts, they let gay people get married, yet it has the lowest divorce rate. And she just looked at me just stunned, didn't know what to say.
Yeah, that's often that look you get. It's sort of that cow-eyed look that they haven't heard it on they haven't heard Rush Limbaugh give them the answer yet. And since, so they're totally dumbfounded. There's no possibility of independent thought on a lot of those people. So unless they've been given the cue, they have no idea what to say to you.
Yeah. Have you ever been to Birmingham?
Alabama, yes. I was there many hundreds of years ago. This was when I was a TV repairman. This was back when I was in my 20s. There was like a Magnavox school there. There was some, like, the regional thing. You had to go up and learn about some new Magnavox server. Yeah, I was there, stayed overnight. I actually went to a little gay bar there. I don't remember the name of it. It was just it was like a hole in the wall. They had, served beer. There's a pool table. And sat at the bar, had a few beers,
My mom used to manage a big apartment complex there on the south side in Birmingham. And a lot of gay people had rented from her. So I don't know, went over. I just got to know a lot of gay people. And it's really something. I mean, they seem like they had a lot more moral values than the white rednecks who came through the neighborhood once in a while and called us names. I mean, they didn't call me names just because I'll be in the neighborhood.
Well, Alan, you have a very good point there. You have a very good point. And there was a news story I did not long ago about a straight couple who were badly beaten on the streets, and it wasn't in Birmingham, not sure where, and it was because the woman had a sort of a short hairstyle anyway, they thought it was a gay couple, and what it was, they thought the woman was really a man. And it's dangerous. It's just plain dangerous sometimes, Alan. I'm glad nothing happened to you.
Yeah, I know a guy who's gay, and he was in this park where a lot of gay people hang out there in Birmingham, and he said a little redneck guy from the outskirts came by and pointed a gun at him, and he just looked at the guy and said, that's a coward thing to do. You can't say anything, so you just want to point a gun at people. I thought that was pretty brave of my friend to say that to him.
I should say so. It was very brave, very, very bad. And your friend is still living, I trust. Your friend is still kicking, right?
I haven't talked to him in a while, but I believe so. I hope so anyway.
Well, that's interesting stuff, Alan. I'm definitely going to follow up on the Birmingham thing. I've made a note of the bookmarked the site, and I'll try and get in touch with some of the organizations up there and see if I can have them on the show next week. Next week's fairly open. I think we have two guests scheduled for next week, so I'll certainly do that. And that's great stuff, Alan. You amaze me. Thank you.
Thank you. And I guess I better go check on my truck.
Well, if you're leaving, don't leave with an empty load. Bring us back some liberal stuff, okay? Just load it up with anything that looks liberal. Okay, buddy. Thank you, Alan. That was Alan the Trucker. You never know where Alan is going to phone in from, and it's always an interesting... Where are you, Alan? And you never know. Sometimes he's in Mississippi, and sometimes he's in North Carolina, and sometimes he's in West Virginia. You just never, ever know. And tonight he is in the most wonderful state in the country regarding at least rights, which would be Massachusetts. Let's see. Oh, there are a couple things I wanted to, little things here. I'm not going to go through any more scripture here, but something I wanted to tell you. There are some transfiguration. You can hear the papers rustling. There's just a lot of stuff, and we're not going to try to do it all tonight. But there's something I want to tell you. It's about the piles of money. You're going to love this. There was a situation where it was a one of his big revivals in Africa, I believe. And afterwards, they began counting the money. And one of the people who was on the visit, on the trip with them over to Africa, who is now, you know, giving out more information about what's really going on in that group of people, said that he had literally never seen that much money in his entire life, and they counted the money for 2 days. It took 2 days to get through all of the counting. And then there was the story told by his driver, Benny Hinn, and this was a situation where it was at the end of one of his big tent meetings slash revivals slash healing, and this elderly woman, rather than put her little bit of money in the plate, she wanted to give it personally to Benny Hinn. She loved him that much. And she gave him a $5 bill. And she was obviously not a wealthy person, but she struggled up there. And then when Benny Hinn went backstage, the driver, the chauffeur, quoted Benny Hinn as laughing. Ha, 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 I think we got our last $5. Kid you not. Kid you not. Now, there's a whole litany of them. There's a Leroy Jenkins, and at his revivals, he sells water at his crusades. He sells water for $1.50 for each 20-ounce bottle, and he claims explicitly that these waters have healing powers. And he claims to have healed many people. And, of course, if you can't afford to get enough, you know, it takes a... More than just one bottle, you have to, like, you know, you have to, like, invest in it, is the way it works. I kid you not. So, then there's a story about, you know, I'll have to delve back into some of this another time, because there's just so much material here that, you know, you just about melt. As a matter of fact, I will tell you, again, I feel dirty just by telling it to you. So we're coming up on about 10:30 now, and we probably need a little bit of a break from this vitriol and this lies, this sham. And I think a good way to do that is to visit our friend Victor, VJC of Disco 935 in New York. And he's been a guest of this show, wonderful guest. Victor is playing for us tonight. Victor is booked tonight at the gay bar across the street, which we refer to as Rumors, after the gay bar in small town gay bar. Victor played for us Tuesday evening, and it was wonderful stuff. Victor actually does live mixes on the air on his radio show on Disco 935, and Victor is doing that for us tonight. So let's gather up our little umbrellas, and in case the little gay bar across the street doesn't have enough of the little umbrellas to go in the drinks, we may need some of the little umbrellas, and we'll get our hats and our coats, and we'll trundle out across the dirt road and head over to the gay bar and visit with our friend VJC. Bob, roll it.
Hello, it's VJC from Disco 935 New York. Check me out on the web at disco935.net for all the info on how you can catch me on Disco 935 New York. Dante's Inferno, check it out. On a nonstop disco mix from New York. I'm on the CD 1 and 2's live, no jive. Hey, check it out. Oh, that's right. It's VJC on the CD 1 and 2 live from Studio 935 New York. Check me out on the web, disco935.net, for all the info on how you can catch me doing the live mix from New York. Dio Benes coming up soon in the mix. Mike Didier and the Bull, remixed by VJC live from New York. Inside the Disco, 93.5 New York, with BJC in the mix. Yeah, BJC here. A special shout to Peter Godbold for allowing me to jam on this show, Strictly Confidential Radio. What's up, Peter? I'm BJC. You can check me out at disco935.net for all the info on how you can catch me. This is First Choice in the medley of Let Me Down Easy, Great Good Morning Midnight, and Great Expectations. Until next time, check me out at disco935.net for more mixes live from New York. I'm Studio 935 here in New York. I'm BJC. Hello.
Just one kiss and I knew that
Hello, it's VJC from Disco.
And welcome back to Strictly Confidential. We are returning from the gay bar across the street. Victor, thank you. That was a wonderful set. I have to say that the choice of the first track, Dante's Inferno, was a beautiful segue from the dirt and the excrement that we were covering from Benny Hinn. And by the way, there was a track that played there near the end that I have never heard before that I just thought was fabulous. I must find it. You know, once I hear something that I think is fabulous, I must have it. I think it was called Great Expectation because I heard that lyric. But I have an inquiring mind, and I want to know. By the way, Victor has appeared on the show before. A fascinating interview. Probably one of the most, there's just never been an interview like it. I can only tell you that you need to, at some point when you have a moment, go to strictlyconfidentialradio.com and locate the September calendar. This is all the months are organized above this month. And click on September and go to the 25th, and then click on the audio archive below, and you will be duly amazed. I absolutely assure you. That was a wonderful thing, Victor. Wow. Some of the people we've met on the show. Now, tomorrow night, we have Mr. Bobby Vittoretti, who is, as we say, legend in the DJ and music business. And so Bobby will be doing our Gay Bar Across the Street segment tomorrow. Now, Bobby's been on the show, too, and I don't have that calendar date in front of me, but we'll give it to you tomorrow. Yes, I should point out now, as the show is wrapping up, well, I'm going to do a couple more short stories, but in case I forget, I often run to the very last minute and then have to scream, bye, bye, and just run out of the room screaming. But John has a music thing. Now, I don't know all the tales. He's in Australia, but John is not with us tonight. So tonight there will be, the horn section will be a replay, and John and Bob and I will step down, and we won't do a horn section this evening, and then of course, John being away this evening, John's show, All Foxed Up, which normally begins at midnight, will also be a replay this evening. I should never read the chat room when I'm on the air. They say things intentionally to make me laugh. It's a very evil thing. By the way, I should point out that while that music was playing, you really should be in the chat room. There is no one untouched on the network. Our moderator, ELO, has created dancing images of virtually everyone on the network. We watched myself dance. We watched Bob Kincaid dance. We watched Victor dance. We watched Guy James dance. We watched Billy Shears dance. We watched, I've lost track. No one is safe. We watched John Fox dance, for crying out loud. And no one is safe. No, we watched Larry Sanders dance. And no one is safe. If you have any participation in the chat room, your head is eventually going to end up on a disco dancing on a disco dancer at some point during the last half hour of Strictly Confidential. I wanted to get this in this evening because it's just so underhanded and dirty tricky, which is what we come to expect from the Republican Party. But you got to hear this. You have followed with me the story about the transgender bill. In other words, removing the T from the LGBT so that job protection would not be extended to transgendered people. And there was a big fight and a big vote, but anyway, they dropped the transgendered people. So one of the things that the right has been screaming about is that what that will do is it's going to allow women to walk into men's dressing rooms and, restrooms or locker rooms or what have you. Because that woman can say that she is a man, and vice versa, a man could walk into a women's locker room. Well, they have pulled the trick, and it's a huge stunt. It's the Citizens for a Responsible Government pulled this trick. It's in Gaithersburg, Maryland, Gaithersburg Gym, as a matter of fact. It happened on Monday, and it was done to give ammunition to the conservatives. But what happened was a woman... she was in a locker room at the Rio Sport and Health in an exercise club in Gaithersburg. So she said a man dressed in heavy female makeup and a blue skirt entered the women's locker room, and he frightened patrons everywhere. And there were all in various states of undress. And, of course, the incident was publicized immediately by the group Citizens for a Responsible Government, going, you see, we told you this is what's going to happen if you let those transsexuals. They're going to just pretend to be transsexuals so the men can go in and peep at the women, and the women can go in and peep at the men. And the Kelly Nicholson, he's the general manager for the gym, said that the person exited the locker room quickly, and the gym could not verify that the identity of the individual, and basically got away with it. And of course, the person was not actually transgendered. It was just obviously a publicity stunt. You see, these people from the Citizens for Responsible Government are trying to collect what 5,000, 25,000 signatures to put something on the referendum in November to overturn the transgender bill. And there's a deadline, and so they thought if they traipsed this person, it goes along the same lines as, the men are going to marry their pets and their dogs and a man and three women, just like Huckabee, and of course on Hannity and Rush Limbaugh, they'll all say it really, really happened. It's all true, and it must be true if Rush said it. So in any case, I have certainly enjoyed this evening. Please tune in tomorrow. We'll have Bobby Vittoretti as the DJ. And here's Cynthia Manley reminding you, too.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Musician. The best music happens when the sheet music gets put aside and the gang just sits down and jams. Same thing here on The Horn. America's best liberal talk hosts free-forming together for an hour a night. Welcome to The Horn Section.